Romans chapter 8, I'm going to be reading verses 12 to 17. Not promising anything, but we're going to read verses 12 to 17 today. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this truth, the truth from your word. Lord, the relationship that we can have with you is amazing. It's amazing that the God of this universe would consider us as his children. Father, we look in and of ourselves and we can see that we don't merit anything. But Lord God, you look at us and you see your Son, Jesus Christ. And we're so grateful. We're so thankful that you sent him. We're so thankful that out of love he came. We're so thankful for the gift of your grace that he has given. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we continue on in Romans chapter 8, I want to remember that Paul wrote the book. He wrote it to proclaim justification by faith. He did so by showing condemnation, how the whole world was condemned, but he also showed us the faith of Abraham and how through that faith we can have what he has planned for us. We can have a relationship with him. We saw how Adam's sin in chapter 5 affected the world, but how Jesus' obedience also affected the world, providing justification. And by faith, by lambano, by receiving, and by pisteo, by believing, we can have that truth. We can have that applied to us. Paul has said, you know, don't mess with sin. Don't. It's not even a part of us anymore. Don't consider it. Don't have that be part of your equation. We learned that in chapter 6. And in chapter 7, he goes on and says, you know, the law wasn't the problem. But he gives an illustration, even, I believe, out of his own life. Where he is desiring to follow. He's desiring to follow, yet he can see in and of himself, he can see in his own body the problems that he has with that, the problems that he has still with sin. Comes to the conclusion, wretched man that I am, but then in chapter 8 he says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And then he's building upon that. He shows us that the requirement of the law has been filled. The mindset, how the mindset matters, is your mindset on the flesh or on the spirit? And the spirit dwelling in us. We looked at that last week, the fact that the spirit dwells in us. And that term dwelling means to be at home in us. So what we're going to look at this week is the true life and what this true life looks like, what it looks like, how it is lived, how it is played out in our life. I want to start in verse 12. We're going to look at our obligation in verse 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We are under obligation. That's an interesting word because he says, therefore, since we have this life, since the Holy Spirit has given us life, he has given us life freely, he says, now you're under obligation. Now, we look at obligation in different ways. And he's talking to the brethren here. He says, brethren, he's talking to those Christians here. And he says, you're under obligation, not to the flesh, but you are under obligation. We look at obligation as if I lent you some money, you would have to, you were obligated to pay me back. Or if I said I would do something, I'm obligated to do it for you. But we have to also look at the truth, what he has already pointed out and will continue to point out. The word literally means one who must. One who must. Obligation. We are one who must. And basically what we've looked at is that God has given us salvation as a gift. It's a gift. We don't have to pay for it. We're not obligated to pay for it. We're not obligated to work for it. We're not obligated to work for it to get it so that we can have it. It's a free gift that he's given. We've seen that. And since we have it, we can never repay God for it. Since we have salvation, we can never give God enough to pay him back for that. But we do owe him our life. We owe him our life because he gave us that life. It's not a payback. Being obligated to God is not a payback. It's simply a fact. It's a truth. It's the fact that he has given us the life that we have, the life through the Spirit. Therefore, we owe him our life. It's an obligation, or it is a one who must. It's what's in me that I now get to serve God. And we'll talk about that as we get in there. But he says, he gives a negative example. He says, not to the flesh. We're obligated, but not to the flesh. And that's emphatic. He uses that emphatic word not. No, not to the flesh. And what he's talking about the flesh here, he's talking about sinful flesh. That remnant of sin that is still forcing its desires upon us. That sinful flesh. Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. The word according to is not out of, it's not that term out of the flesh, but according to is to live under the authority of. The word according to is kata in the original. It's, we have our circle, our preposition circle. We have that line underneath that's kata. It's to live according to, or to live under the authority of the flesh. So we're not under obligation anymore to the flesh. Now this was important because in Rome, remember what Rome was like. Rome was the capital of sensuality in that day. It was the capital of idolatry. It was the capital of every sinful thing that you can think of. And these people were subjected to that. And these people had that brought upon them all the time. And their flesh craves things like that. Our flesh craves what is wrong. Our sinful flesh. And that's why he said before that our mindset has to be changed. That's why we'll get to chapter 12 and he'll say, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind so that we can see what that perfect will of God is. It's a mindset that has changed, and it's changed by God, and it's changed only because the Holy Spirit in us, who is dwelling in us, who is at home in us, is changing that mindset and working on us and toward us and for us so that we can grow in godliness. Not living according to the flesh. Now, we still all live. We still all work. We eat. We read, we sit down, we stand up. We still all do things that are of this flesh. But what he's talking about here specifically is sinful flesh. The mindset that is anti-God, that is us being God, according to the sinful flesh. He's speaking about those sinful desires here. And he says, you're under obligation, but not to live towards that, not to live into that. In fact, he goes on in verse 13. He says, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. If you are living according to the flesh, and living according to the flesh, remember the sinful flesh, it's the habitual mindset of the flesh. Having the habitual mindset of, I need to satisfy my flesh. I need to continue to satisfy my flesh. Continue to satisfy that desire in me that I think I can satisfy through the world. which is very prevalent. But the end point of that is death, and we're talking spiritual death here. And we as Christians know this, and that's why we believed, so that we could escape that. That's why we accepted Lambano, Jesus Christ, so that we could be free from that. He says, what happens with this is you must die. And the word must is be about to or inevitable. And it's inevitable when this is our motivation, when this is our mindset, according to the flesh. It is inevitable that death must happen because that's the end product of it. But, he says, and this is the word Allah, this is the word completely different, but since, and that word if there, but if by the Spirit you are putting to death, that word if is a first class condition. You can put since in there. But since you are living, by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Since by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body. Now this is in opposition. Remember, this is he's drawing a comparison here to living according to the flesh, having a mindset of the flesh, or putting to death the deeds of the body. Mindset of the flesh, which is building the deeds of the body, sinful body, remember, or mindset of the Spirit, putting to death the deeds of the body. Putting to death the deeds of the body. The deeds of the body be this mortal body, the sinful deeds. It's what the Spirit is clearly showing us about ourselves. What is against God's heart? Because remember, when the Holy Spirit, think for a minute, when the Holy Spirit dwells in you, remember what we talked about? That's not just living us, that's being at home in us, making that His abode in us. Then the sinful deeds of the flesh will become apparent to us. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the work of the Spirit. As He shows us God's heart, it will become apparent to us that we're not following God's heart. When we are following the deeds of the flesh, when we are following the desires of our fleshly heart, we're not following God's heart. And He shows us this. This becomes very apparent to us. It's what is against God's heart. He says, as you are, or since, in verse 13, but since by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds, and the word putting to death is to extinguish or execute. Put a stop to the deeds of this body, of this sinful body. He says, you will live. As we know Christ, as the Spirit reveals the sinful deeds of our body to us, then we either yield to Him or we quench Him. We yield to the Spirit who is dwelling in us, or we quench the Spirit. When we yield to the Spirit, we put to death the deeds, sinful deeds of the body. When we are quenching the Spirit, we follow that. We follow the fleshly deeds of the body. But it's all the work that is done by the Spirit, not by us. We're simply the ones who yield. But look at the interesting part here. Because he says, if or since by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now that term, you will live, is in the middle voice, which means this is a choice that's up to us. This isn't what God is forcing on us. This is a choice that's up to us. Because as we yield to the Spirit, as the Spirit opens up our life and opens up the knowledge of sin in us, as we understand that my life isn't... God is working in me in such a way that I see now that what I'm doing here is following my flesh and not following Him. And as we understand that, and as we put to death that deed of the body, guess what? We, in and of ourselves, live. Now, what does that mean? We get to gain life because we did such a good job? No. It means that we get to experience the life that He has put in us in a way that we could not experience if we aren't yielding to Him. We get to live in that we get to experience the life of God in us in a way that we could not experience if our mindset is on the flesh. If our desires are just what we want, when we want, how we want, the only way that we want. When we have the mindset of Christ, He shows us our life. And as we are putting to death the deeds of the body, we are experiencing his life to a greater and greater degree. And because of that, we are gaining assurance. Let's look at the assurance that we have. The assurance that he gives us. Found in verses 14, 15, and 16. There's three definite points of assurance that we have here that he gives us. And this can be used for us as Christians. This is, can be used in our life. We can see that we are his children. Look what it says. Verse 13. Let's go to 14. Verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. There's the first one. It says, all who are being led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. It comes down to all who are being led by the Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, if he is at home in you, then he is leading you. Now, what we think of as leading is he's out in front saying, come on, do this. Come on, do that. Come on, you got to do this. All right? I think we have a misconception here of that concept. Because the word leading here, all who are being led, is actually in the passive voice. And it can be translated to carry. So in other words, all who are being carried by the Holy Spirit. You see, more and more as we get into dissecting Scripture, more and more, over and over and over, it becomes so apparent that Christianity isn't really about me. It's not about us. Christianity is about God, is about what he does in us and how he carries us, how he leads us by taking us and carrying us through the situation, the circumstance, whatever it is. He carries us. And that's what he's talking about here. And that is an assurance to us, being led or being carried. And what happens when we see that in our life? All who are being led by the Spirit of God, what? These are sons of God. These are children of God. He's talking about a family relationship here. So it comes down as you look at your life. Is God carrying you? Is he leading in that way? Is he And I can't answer that in your life. I think you can. But again, there's more assurance here given. Look at the second one. Look at the second one. Number two. Look at verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. For you have not received, and that's very emphatic. You have not received, and the word received is that lambano. Same word, lambano. You have not grasped or taken or accepted a spirit of slavery. Are we not slaves of God? Yes, we are. But being slaves of God doesn't cause the same thing as being slaves of sin. See, when we are born into slavery. We are born as a slave of sin. And the end product of being a slave of sin is fear. Because that's, look what it says. It says in verse 15, you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. Because that's what being a slave of sin is. It leads to fear. Because it leads to death. It leads to a separation. It's a slavery that leads to fear. But what is being a slave of God? It's a slavery of God who gives us freedom. So it's a slavery that leads to freedom. How? Freedom. Look what it says. 15. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons. A spirit of adoption. The pursuing of it's in fact he says it's that word Allah, that word that means complete on the complete other hand. You have the slavery that leads to fear, but on the complete other hand you've received that spirit that leads to adoption. Adoption as children of God. Adoption into his family. And you think about adoption, it's the pursuing and desiring of God toward us, becoming part of his family. It's God's willful choice to love us in spite of us. It's choosing us. Purposeful love. Now, the Romans knew the difference between slavery and adoption. They knew it because they were living out slavery. They understood what he was saying. There was a huge difference between slavery and adoption. And not just adoption, but look what it says. Adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out, and the word cry out is to shout out, to understand completely, and to unashamedly just shout out, what? Abba, Father. Now, I've talked about that before. So many commentaries say, well, that just means Father, Father. No, not really. It doesn't, it doesn't. Because the word Abba was used as a very endearing term. This week, I got Rachel called, my married daughter, called. And she called up and I said, hello. And she says, hi, Daddy. And it was that, hi, Daddy. And I went, ah. And you know, when your children are young and they come in and say, Daddy's home, Daddy, Daddy. Okay, that's the term Abba. And that's the heart behind it. You know, so what he's saying is we have such a God. And remember, we're talking about the God who created the universe. We're talking about the God who is holy and mighty and righteous and just, so much so that if we today went and stood in his presence, we would be dead. So holy, so righteous, that physically we cannot even exist with, and yet we are told that we can go into the very throne room of God. In Hebrews, we can go into his very throne room boldly. You know how we do it boldly? It's the same as when one of my children run into my office and say, Daddy, it's so neat. I've got something to show you. You know, in the middle of my study. I'm studying. What's the matter with you? No, they run in. They're so excited about it. It's cool. It's neat. Why? They can do that. They know they can do that. Because they have something exciting to share with their daddy. Okay? This is who God is. This is who we are. We are adopted. We have the spirit of adoption by which we can go to God and say, Daddy, when we are hurting, when we are troubled, when we are excited, when we are in a situation where we can't see an answer, when we are in a situation where we are so excited because we are seeing him work, happy, sad, troubled, hurt, whatever it is, we get to go before the very throne of God and say, Daddy. That's the term that's used here. That's the spirit we have. That's what gives us freedom rather than fear. Because as we have the mindset of what we were born into sin, we have the mindset, we are a slave of sin. We have that mindset of the flesh. And we go all the way to the point of fear. Why? Because there is no hope in the mindset of the flesh. There's no hope. There are things that mask hope. There is money. There is fame. There is fortune. There is popularity. Whatever these things are, they mask hope. They try and emulate hope, but they don't give true hope because there's always fear of what happens eventually. It leads to death. That's what happens eventually. But what does life lead to? What does the Spirit of God lead to? It leads to life, eternal, complete, forever, fulfilling. So we have a spirit of freedom. We have that spirit of adoption by which we can cry out, God, Daddy, Father. We can cry out to our daddy. That's the spirit that we are given. So that's the second indication. That's the second assurance we have. When you have that type of communication with your father. Daddy. He's my daddy. He's my beloved papa. He's my gracious dad. He's the one who loves me. Who can be closer than a brother? Your parents. A parental type relationship, right? Like that. That's the second assurance. Look at the third assurance. Verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit himself, that's very emphatic in the original language. The Holy Spirit, he could have said the Holy Spirit testifies. No, he said the Holy Spirit himself, he did this, absolutely did this. He testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. The word testifies is the word we get our word martyr from, martyrios. And it means he's willing to die for this. It's a witness that he's willing to die for. It's something absolutely true. He testifies with our spirit, spirit to spirit. We know the truth because of the testimony that he gives to our spirit. Now, how does he do this? Well, he uses his word. We understand that. But we look at this and say, well, can we really communicate spirit to spirit? Can the spirit communicate with my spirit? And I'll answer you to most of the crowd here. Have you ever been married? Have you ever known the spirit of your spouse before they said a word? Have you ever walked in the house and it was like a refrigerator? Have you ever gone to somewhere and had a good time or whatever, and you got in the car and all of a sudden you knew there was an issue? I never have. I was just wondering if you had. I don't know what that's like, so I figured maybe you would know. Whew, okay, it's getting warm in here. I can't remember ever doing that. Really, honey? Anyway, have you ever been... What? Yeah, I know. On the way home, I'll know. No, she drove separate. Have you ever, as a child, have you ever walked in to see your parents sitting on the couch looking at you and said, what did I do now? All right. Spirits do communicate with spirits. My spirit communicates with her spirit. That happened yesterday. My spirit was communicating with her spirit. It wasn't her. It was me. Right. But that happens. That happens to people. Guess what? God communicates with us. Through his spirit, he assures us, he makes it concrete in us that we are what? Children of God. That we belong to him. Is it a matter of faith? Absolutely. Is it a matter of trust? Yes. It's trusting who he is and what he has told us, but through his spirit, he communes with our spirit and assures us, you know what? You are my child. You belong to me. And we can look at our life and look at these three things. You know, is God leading us this week? God's leading this week. If you look at your life, what is it? The past is a great teacher, isn't it? Don't you wish we had as much faith in the future as we do the past? The past is a great teacher. Because just this week, through circumstances that, you know, I'm thinking, why is it taking so long? Why can't we? And we get there and it's God's perfect timing. We were with Rosie yesterday when Clarence died. Not because we had planned that out. Not because that was our sole desire. But because I ran late. Because the circumstances weren't very good. Because I wasn't, you know, all of that. And yet it was exactly where God wanted us to be when he wanted them. It was what God had. It's God's leading. It's nothing that we can say, oh yeah, I planned that. Yeah, it's all about me. See how we get that? It's all about me thing. And yet that's God's assurance in our life. That's one of his assurances. And the other is we can go before him and cry out, Daddy, Daddy, I'm hurting. Daddy, I'm excited. Daddy, Father. Have you ever done that? Have you ever? I know that almost sounds sacrilegious, doesn't it? Have you ever gone in prayer and said, Daddy, I love you? Because it sounds too flippant, right? You know what? He says here that it's not flippant. He says here that's an assurance that we have a relationship with him, that we are bonded with him, that we are adopted into, that we are purposefully chosen to be one of his children. Isn't that cool? We're not a mistake. We are purposefully chosen to be one of his children. There's an assurance that we have. And not only that, but his spirit is communing with our spirit. His spirit is assuring our spirit that we're his, that we belong to him. We don't have to guess. We don't have to second guess. Because his spirit communes with ours. That's the importance of having a mindset on the spirit. That's the importance of knowing that our obligation isn't to pay God back. Our obligation in living for Jesus Christ is to experience the life that we have in him. We get to live for Jesus Christ. We get to experience that life. And as we are, what's it say? Putting to death the deeds of the body. Does that mean as I am doing what I have to do? No. It means as God is working in me, as the Spirit is showing me my life and teaching me to grow, and all putting to death the deeds of the body is growing in Jesus Christ. That's it. It's what is, look at the conclusion he gets to in Romans chapter 12. It says, therefore the no, that's the wrong one. That's Ephesians 4. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God, was just a reasonable service. That's just a reasonable service. That's nothing extraordinary. To present these bodies as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice for God. Just a reason. What is it? Because it's our obligation. It's not because we have to, because we're saved, or because we have to get saved, or because it's our obligation because we have life from him. And we get to experience that life. But we can only experience that life as we are living and yielding to him. Does he desire that we yield to him? Absolutely. Absolutely. Why? Because he knows what's best for us, and he is leading in us in the way that is best for us. We're not going to get to that last verse. I'd love to, but we'll wait until next week. So do you have the assurance that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you? Do you realize that your life is his? We're under obligation to God not to repay him, but because we have a great gift. And that gift is our life, true life. You can never repay him. You can only experience his life that he has given you by yielding to him. All we have he has given. And it is not because of us. He's chosen us to live through, to share his love with the world. How does he do it? The fruit of the Spirit. Go to Galatians chapter 5 sometime. Read about the fruit of the flesh, idolatry, sensuality, all sorts of evil. And the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. All these things that the Spirit produces in you. That's life. And remember what eternal life truly is. To know him. To know his Son, Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, then your mindset has to be on the flesh. And there's no getting around that. There's no getting away from it. Even a religious person who's never trusted in Christ will have a mindset of the flesh. To try and gain some acceptance from God, or to try and get on his good side. And there's a problem with that, because it's still all about me. It's all about what I do and what I can do. And yet what he says is, I'm carrying you. I'll carry you. I'll lead you. I'll give you, I'll adopt you. I'll make you, I'll, through my spirit, I'll assure you of who you are. He says it's a free gift. I would love to show you from God's word how you can have that relationship where you cry out, Daddy, Daddy, Father. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, then know this. These assurances are for you. And as you look at your life, as you look back, you can see them. You will be able to see them. And in your spirit, when the Holy Spirit is at home in you, He'll be assuring you that you are His beloved child, not His disobedient kid, His beloved child whom He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for. He loves you. Let's close in prayer.